Braline Marks, good morning to you.
Oh, right to the core of my heart and soul today, and a special thank you to Dr. Myburgh for his exceptional care for those who are suffering or who have suffered from COVID-19. Really, really exceptional doctor.
And, Raline, you had a very rough week with us, didn't you?
Very, very difficult week, and my family, they know who they are in my thoughts and in my prayers. With eternal love.
Right, Raline, let's pull ourselves together, shall we?
I'm going to need that third cup of Jacob's, Howard.
You want to go and pull yourself another cup of Jacob's coffee and put a dash of maybe something else in it. And let's talk about not only COVID, but the week that was in Israel. Today, Friday, the 4th of June, looking very, very different to last week, Friday, in almost every aspect of Israel's political landscape.
Well, it's like the opening of a joke, a religious Jew in the kippah, a religious Arab and a centrist walk into a parliament house. You know, you can't make this stuff up. But an extraordinary, extraordinary moment in Israeli history, not fully through yet. We still have the coalition to go through the Knesset, which will hopefully go in by Wednesday so that the new government can be sworn in. So the next couple of days are critical because we know that Benjamin Netanyahu is not going down or out without a fight, Howard. I mean, did we expect anything
different.
Less? But let's unpack the week because it has been just simply extraordinary. And it comes at a time when Israel has never been the recipient of so much hateful rhetoric in the world and especially on social media. I mean, you and I are no stranger to some of the most ghastly rhetoric that we see there. So let's take a look. Yair Lapid literally coming down to the wire on Wednesday night. He really, I think, had minutes and an absolute historical moment as he sat with Mansour Abbas and Naftali Bennett, phoned President Rivlin, our wonderful president, who we are also just so grateful for the last 7 years, and we'll talk about that in a moment, and phoned him up and said, Adoni, Mr. President, I think we have a coalition. I'm able to form a coalition. A little bit of a faux pas. I mean, we have to expect that he forgot to mention Yisrael Biteinu had signed. So slight for rebels there, Howard, but you know that we're Jews and this
All right,
is Israel.
So they won't go to each other's bar mitzvahs, they'll be fine.
They'll go to each other's bar mitzvahs and somebody will not remember to thank someone in the speech,
exactly.
But it'll be all good. But have you ever seen a government, a unity government, hopefully to be signed in on Wednesday that features the following parties? You've got Meretz, far left, you've got Labour, left center, you've got Yesh Atid and Blue and White firmly in the center, you've got Yamina, New Hope, Israel Biteinu moving to the right, and you have an Islamist Arab party. I mean, it's just you cannot make things up. So this apartheid thing, we are failing very miserably.
Yeah, very poorly, very. You're the worst apartheid people in the world.
We're absolutely failing at it. And I know that people have been, verging on the hysterical when we mention Islamist party and, they hear left parties in. And I know that we are hearing from Benjamin Netanyahu now as he's trying to derail the coalition. He does not want this to go through, using terms like leftist, leftist, leftist. So let's unpack this because first of all, we can't forget that in his own attempts to form a coalition, Netanyahu also tried to woo the Ra'am party. Do we still use the word woo, Howard?
I think we do. I think we're allowed. I think we're okay with that for now. Somebody will tell us otherwise. Yeah.
So he tried to woo Mansour Abbas and the Ra'am party to come to his side. So we also have to make the separation between what is an Islamist religious party and what is a fundamentalist party. And they are two extremely different things. But yeah, this week it is unbelievable that unwittingly or wittingly, Benjamin Netanyahu has united the right and the Arabs. Who'd have thunk it?
Unbelievable. It's really just absolutely incredible. How does this play out, though? I mean, is this coalition more about simply moving forward, getting the Netanyahus out of the prime minister's home, or is it actually a government that can lead the country?
This is an excellent question, and there are concerns that it could be a bit shaky because you've got such different points of views and different agendas that will, you know, try and be pushed forward. But what Israel desperately needs is healing, fractured society along many, many lines, and we need a government that will come together and work for the benefit of all of Israeli society. And, you know, yesterday somebody sent a messaging saying it's the end of times to have the Ra'am party in. And I take huge exception to that because we have 20% of our community that is Arab. And we can go one of two ways. We can look to further enfranchise the community, and the Ra'am party has been promised a deputy ministerial position in the prime minister's office, also unheard of before. Or we can go along the lines of not giving the Arabs as much agency. And again, we have to separate. This is not the joint list. This is Ra'am. And hopefully improve the situation in Arab society. If you've got agency, you work towards better things. As somebody put it on Twitter, it was an Arab Israeli. He said Mansour Abbas maybe has signed another normalization deal with the Israeli government, and that's food for thought. That shows you where the thinking is there. So good luck to whoever is the chair of the coalition committee, because this is a very, very difficult one to manage, because Israelis, as you know, are very robust with opinions and agendas. But the next few days are very, very critical, because we need to get this sworn in. And we've already had movements to try and oust Yariv Levine. He is the Speaker of the Knesset. He is a Likudnik, and concerns that he will try and do everything that he can to try and ensure this doesn't go through. Yair Lapid has put forward Mickey Levy. He is the former spokesperson for the police. We are all familiar with him from, you know, seeing him on TV as a possible speaker. But yeah, very, very interesting few days ahead.
We were having a conversation at dinner last night, and I think it's a fairly important one where we were talking about Netanyahu's legacy, and my wife, who happens to be a big Netanyahu fan, I maybe once was, certainly not anymore. I haven't been for a while, I believe, and I've said very openly that change was absolutely critical. It was time to move on. But what we were trying to do is have a conversation as to how his legacy is remembered, because he did do an incredible amount of very good work for Israel on the one side. On the other side, of course, there's the corruption allegations, there's issues around abuse of power, there is the fact that he didn't build succession in the Likud because he wanted to retain power. How do we put together the full picture of who he was as prime minister?
Well, that's exactly that, and that's an excellent observation. He is a very, very complex leader. You know, on the one hand, you know, he's an extraordinary voice to the international community at the United Nations or anywhere else. You know, he has always stood firm in, you know, Israel's interests first. You know, our economy looks good. We cannot forget this extraordinary vaccine rollout program that he has led, the normalization deals. So there's that. There's the external Bibi, and then there's the internal Bibi. And the internal Bibi has a very, very complicated relationship with the Israeli people. A lot of people and a lot of these parties have got where they are on the, you know, get rid of Bibi Netanyahu platform. He is the longest serving prime minister, and many feel that it's time for a change and fresh perspective. A lot of concern about the reluctance to appoint a justice minister and for the encroachment or the attempts to encroach on the judiciary in Israel. That Israeli saw as a threat to our democracy and something that the incoming president, Isaac Herzog, has sworn to protect. And we can't forget the corruption charges, bribery, corruption. You know, we can't have a prime minister, especially at such a vulnerable time for us, battling these massive legal allegations. You know, he needs to concentrate on that. You know, the right thing to do would be for him to step aside and go lead the opposition. That would be the right thing for the people of Israel, to heal the wounds that need healing. And we also can't forget some of his inflammatory language on previous election campaigns. I mean, there have been so many, Howard, you know, who can remember which one.
Yeah.
He said that, but you know, that has left deep wounds in many communities. So the onus on the incoming Prime Minister Bennett and Yair Lapid and this coalition is to try and heal as many of these wounds as possible and to protect the tenets of Israeli democracy. Mm.
And I saw that Times of Israel reporting this morning that Bennett says, "I told my kids their father's going to be the most hated person in Israel." What a sad thing to have to tell your children, and knowing you're going into this, hopefully with the best of intentions and for all the right reasons, but knowing that it's not going to be easy.
Well, exactly that. I mean, you and I have seen over the years, you know, any time you or I have spoken about Netanyahu and maybe a transgression or questioned something, the incredible messages that we get, you know, sometimes verging on the aggressive. That has happened in Israel to members of the various parties that are now coming in. And as we've discussed many, many times, you know, there will come a time when he is not the Prime Minister of Israel. Mm-hmm. And it's something that people are going to have to learn to grapple with, to cope with.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because that's one of the things that Bennett said was that my core vow was to get Israel out of the chaos. And he also retracted charges that Ra'am Abbas was a terror supporter, and he called him honest and brave, which is also a tremendous step forward for healing in Israel, isn't it?
Well, we've seen several extraordinary things happen over the last few weeks. Abbas, when he made his first speech as the kingmaker, so to speak, he spoke conciliatory words that we haven't heard coming from any political leader. And two men who've really come into their own over the last 2 weeks have been Yair Lapid and Naftali Bennett. They have put ego and personal agendas aside to think of what is best for this country. And that's all the people of Israel want. We are bruised and battered, having just come through another, and let's call it what it was, war. We are extremely, extremely worried about the situation around the world for our diaspora brothers and sisters, extremely worried. And we also know we have to heal the desperate wounds in this country, and hopefully this will be a step forward.